Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome each one here. And I'm certainly thankful for God's faithfulness bringing us through another week. Some of us traveled far in different areas, but just thankful for God's safety and bringing us here again this morning. We have so much to be thankful for. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to again come together here. Just thank you for the beautiful morning, and most of all for the reminders as we look into your word that you have given that gift of salvation, that gift of eternal life, to take away our faults, our sins, and we just come before you and acknowledge that and want to give you the honor, glory, and praise, and just be rejoicing in you. We ask for your protection and guiding hand here. May we have open hearts to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I just have a few thoughts here. The title of the message is, Who's to Blame? I'd like to look at Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12, and this is the New King James Version. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. In the version that I had, the verse 11 there, is all in caps, and I'm not sure why they did that, except it's truth, and we need to know it. And so the thought here was that every single one of us is going to stand before the Lord, and there's not going to be any finger pointing. We are all responsible for what we are doing or what we did yesterday, what we're doing today, and what we will do tomorrow. I am thankful for the shed blood, because those of us who have accepted Jesus into our hearts, we still make mistakes, and we have a Savior. The important piece is that we're not pointing fingers at other people. We all have faults and need to deal with them in some way. For some people, it's to move faster and not take the time to think about what we did so we don't have to deal with our mistakes. For some people, it's constantly blaming somebody else. Hopefully, we have learned to go to Jesus with our weaknesses and our faults, and Jesus is there if we go to him and confess them. It seems that a big thing in this society today is to blame everybody else for what our problems are. And you look at, for example, politics, which is a big thing today with the election coming up. And it's amazing the stories they come up with. Who's to blame for the reason our country is in the mess it's in? It's just interesting to hear what they do. I think I had used this story maybe some years ago, but I'm going to read it again. There's a story told of a five-year-old boy who was using his blocks as hay bales and was pretending that he was putting hay away. He had a big pile stacked up when it suddenly fell over. In his frustration, he blamed his sister for the collapse. He was then reminded that his sister was at Grandpa's house 6 miles away. How easy is it for us to be thinking about somebody else, and it's their fault for what I did? I think that's a really important thing. All you children, doesn't matter. Well, yeah, obviously those that can hear and understand. Learn that when you're young. Too many people, when they get older, They are such a habit of trying to figure out how to get out of a situation that they made a mistake in. And so if you can learn that when you're young, to own up, you know, whatever it was that happened, to own up to your part and accept that and take it to the Lord. And when you have Jesus in your heart, it makes all the difference. Then you can make mistakes. Not that you desire to go out and make mistakes, not that you purposely do things wrong, but if you're convicted of a mistake, you can go right to Jesus and you can find healing. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Fallen human nature is deceptive and conniving. It tries desperately to squirm out of personal accountability. And this is not new. We can go to Genesis chapter 3, which is maybe what some of you thought of, but if you go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, and he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden," this was Adam speaking, "and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said to the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." How easy is it to just keep handing off the blame to somebody else? When we shift blame, as Adam and Eve did, we cannot overcome sin nor receive the Holy Spirit power. We become in a spiritual deadlock and are powerless to change because we avoid personal accountability. Repentance is impossible, and cleansing by Jesus' blood cannot follow. I think that that is why we're dealing with so many of the things we're dealing with today. People are carrying loads that they weren't meant to carry. And in this world, their solution is to blame somebody else, but they end up still carrying the load, and it doesn't give them freedom. So oftentimes, they end up at counselors are on drugs or something because they can't let go and just take the blame, and they don't have Jesus to go to. So they become powerless, helpless. Spiritual confusion, frustration, and conflict dominate the defeated life. What we are really doing is not acknowledging our sin nature and error of our ways. There's a really simple verse that most of us know, and we know it, but sometimes it's hard to really grasp it. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." There's a couple important pieces in that verse. Blaming others is not confessing our sin, and therefore we cannot be forgiven. So confession is the beginning. We must acknowledge that we need a Savior. And if we are saved but are struggling in our life, we still have to confess that we stumble and fall. And then, after that, we need to remember that it says, "He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a difficult one. So many times we stumble there because people will confess their sins, but Satan has a way of coming back and saying, but you can't be forgiven for that. That you did that, and that was just a really bad thing, and there's just no way that you can be forgiven for that. So Satan's full of lies, as we know, and that is what he is very quick to tell us. But we need to go back to 1 John 1:9, and it says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. God is more faithful than we are. He's perfect. And he said he will do that, and he will do that. Each of us has a choice and independent will. We will each acknowledge our sin today and repent of it, or we will face it sooner or later. And if we don't face it today, we'll face it at the judgment. I trust you will acknowledge your sin today and find forgiveness and the peace that comes when you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. In Ezekiel chapter 18, I don't know if you ever read that chapter or not. We won't read the whole chapter, but I would like to read a verse out of it, which kind of sums it all up. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Man chooses his path, and man must give an account to God, who gave him the power of choice. Though others fail, leave a bad example, or mistreat us, we are responsible for attitudes, actions, and choices. Because God gave us each an independent will, we are not victims of others' failures. The rebellious person cannot say, my problems are my father's fault. No longer can the casual young Christian shift blame onto the church by saying, the church is not what it should be. Nor can one who struggles with self-pity say, life isn't fair. I'm a victim of circumstances. And when you get out into the world and into a lot of garbage that's going on out there, people will tell you that. People will tell you, oh, you're a victim of circumstances. Your parents did this or that. So it's really their fault. You can't help it. None of these circumstances force our personal choices. Our responses and actions are ours, no one else's. I can assure you, every dad and every mother here has and will make mistakes. Every church has needs, and life is not fair. But none of these circumstances force our personal choices. Our responses and actions are ours, no one else's. It is true that our parents' actions can affect how we see and respond to things, but when all is said and done, each person is to give an account to God. When these divine truths become part of our personal experience, we start to realize our need to do something about them. There's a few things that I would like us to consider. First, we carefully consider our choices and step in the light of God's principles. So we look to God's word, and what does he say? Second, we accept the full accountability of our choices. I am to blame for the consequences of my choices. Third, as we keenly sense our personal power of choice and take the blame for our failure, we can come to God with a heartfelt cry for mercy. I am guilty, and I am worthy of judgment. Reckoning with the law of accountability and guilt brings us to the personal potential for cleansing, justification, and regeneration through Jesus Christ. There's a few things God says in the Word. God says, whosoever will. That's anybody. And choose you this day. That's a decision for you to make. And come unto me. So he tells us where to go. The Bible rings clear throughout. We have a choice. Without personal accountability, salvation will not occur. We may desire salvation and even profess to have it, but if we are shifting the blame to others, salvation will elude us. The pattern of blame shifting will likely continue. Remember the story of King Saul? Spiritual victory will be replaced with frustration, anger, and foolishness. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 20, and Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. They came up with a solution so they could do what they wanted to do. They took the things that were supposed to be utterly destroyed so they could sacrifice them. It doesn't work that way. As we know, Saul's life ended in misery and distress. Remember Herod's wife who had John the Baptist killed to try to get rid of her guilt. John the Baptist told her she was not to be living. That was not right with her relationship. And she decided, if we get rid of him, then the problem will go away. Getting rid of people, putting blame on other people, doesn't fix the problem. Nothing other than acknowledging our sin, repentance, and looking to Jesus will change our situations. A couple other points I'd like us to consider. Honestly face reality when dealing with sin or failures or weaknesses. I have sinned, I have failed. I am personally to blame for my sins and responsible to solve my problems with God's help. Reckon with the law of God. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned. Our own righteousness is as filthy rags. We must understand where we are before God. I think that's a big one that is missed today. Many times, people are told to say this little prayer, and then everything will be all right. But they don't know why they're supposed to say that prayer. They don't realize that they have offended a holy and almighty God. Expose everything to God. We must be completely open and honest with who we are before God. We must be able to take all our guilt to God. We cannot go into despair, but understand that his blood can and will take away our sin if we confess and repent. One of the things people do is go into despair. Oh, I failed. But they're not given the real solution of who to go to and how to confess. Maintain a biblical perspective. We are sinners saved by grace, and in our flesh, we are nothing. Human tendency is to be proud, self-centered, and self-justifying. In Christ alone, and only in Christ alone, can we be free and clean. Why are so many lives steeped in bitterness and anger? Why are there seemingly irresolvable conflicts among God's people? Why do marriages fail? Why do churches fall apart? Many times the answer lies in our attitude. As with the load of hay bales, someone is saying, "Look what you made me do." If there are young people here, if there are people that have not given their hearts to the Lord and realize that they must come to God to find relief from blaming others or just find relief from their load of sin, may I suggest that you go to the Lord today? Don't keep putting it off. Whether we have never given our hearts to the Lord and need to do that, or whether we are Christians walking around with a load of care and worry, let's be open and honest before the Lord and learn from Him and the freedom and the peace and the joy that we can have. I can't tell you how great that is. I can tell you how great it is, but you have to experience it yourself. And only then do you realize what Jesus has done for you.